This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
It is You Better You Bet here on this Friday night. Mark Melusis in for Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, of course. And You Better You Bet, sponsored by Bet Rivers. Deposit $250. That's $250. And you'll receive a $250 match. You can't find better odds at other sportsbooks. It's an absolute no-brainer. Kicking off this second hour, we've got three big hours left to play with, Kenny. But we're going to get into right now a little sports market sweep.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you haven't played this game before. And to be fair, you might be like, oh, well, you guys must play this all the time. I'm so out of the loop. We actually schedule it all the time and then never get to it. It's like a running joke on the show that it's always at like 5:20 or 5:40. And then we end up, you know how Nick and I work. We get on some tangent. To be fair, you and I have.
Yeah.
We talk about horse racing. We talk about whatever. And all that stuff's gold, by the way. And it's fun to talk about. And I have a lot more stories in the hopper. I want to tell you that roulette story maybe before the end of the show. But the craziest
one
I went on. But this is a game that we like to play all the time on the show, Sports Market Sweep. Basically, Bill, who does the imaging, does a pretty good job in it. So I'm going to, the entry level, the elementary education will occur with the imaging, with Bill telling us the rules. And then if there's anything sort of unexplained afterwards, that can kind of take care of it. So, Rick, let's hit it. Let's play Sports Market Sweep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to gamble. The name of the game is to set the lines for all the betting questions. It's time for the Sports Market Sweep.
Sweep. Sweep always
Love
my favorite
it.
Part of that imaging. Yeah, sweep always my favorite part. So basically, here's how this works. A previous iteration of this game, I gave the name Make a Market to. And the idea is basically Tyler has come up with a series of topics, is the right way to put it. And he's going to give us the topic. So I'm sure he has not thought of, I'll give you an example. He would say like, all right, 96 Bulls versus, 2018 Golden State Warriors. What would the point spread be? And we would have to write like what we think the point spread is. You can either write it on a sheet of paper or you can use because we are a visual medium, but a lot of people are listening right now. You can think of a number and then we can compare answers basically. So you're trying to kind of set the line if you're the odds maker for whatever the topic is that Tyler's going to give us basically.
Okay.
And then we will, have 10 seconds to come up with something that we can debate it. So Tyler, what do we got? What's the first topic tonight on Sports Market Sweep?
Over under on what you think the Knicks playoff seed will be at the end of the season.
Oh, that's a good one. So you can use halves here too, Mark, if you want. So if you had to set a line for Knicks playoff seed at the end of the season, it should be noted, Tyler, do you have the standings up right now?
That's a no,
by the way. That's an unprepared.
That is a no with the pause there for Tyler.
Tyler asked the question about the playoff standings. Tyler, do you have the playoff standings? Cricket.
No.
If I could do the chirp, I would do it.
They're
the sixth seed, and it's worth noting how many games up on Boston are they right now?
One.
Yeah, game up on the Celtics move. Could you ever have imagined at this point in the season?
No, I could never have imagined. The Celtics are home for Indiana tonight.
Yeah, and they're ahead of the Miami too, right? Miami hasn't caught up enough yet.
No, Miami's two games under. The Knicks are sitting there at a game under 500.
I mean, imagine it being almost March 1st, and the New York Knicks are ahead of the Miami Heat, who made the finals last year, and the Boston Celtics in the stand. I mean, just wild.
It really is crazy.
So over under playoff seed. Here, let me come up with a guess. What do I think is good? All right, I got my guess.
All right.
That's going to make no sense. All right. I said 8.5 is the number that I came up with, basically. I still have like less than no confidence in the closing lineup of this team. And I think if you take Boston and Miami and we get some other movement kind of going on in the conference, you know, Charlotte obviously holds on. Does Atlanta get everybody back and play better? I still think it's a tough road. The play-in is a very strong possibility right now, though. I think I'd be surprised if they're not in the play-in tournament, but you know, I think anything beyond that, maybe a bit of a stretch. What do you come up with, Moose?
Yeah, I came up with 8. I didn't write it down on a yellow notepad, but I came up with 8 for my number for the Knicks. Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the one thing. Thibodeau's placed a massive importance on winning basketball games. Rose has been very, very influential. Emmanuel Quickley has been great IQ. They're missing Mitchell Robinson. You know, there's been a lot of debate in New York about, you know, make a play for Bradley Beal, make a play for Zach LaVine, make a play for Victor Oladipo. There was a report by Mark Berman in the New York Post a couple of days ago that they've sniffed around the idea of adding Andre Drummond from the Cleveland Cavaliers before the March 20th. Yeah, so it was everybody before the March 25th NBA trade deadline. Listen, I agree with you. I think the Celtics are going to get right at some point in time. They've lost 3 in a row. I agree with you. The Miami Heat are not a team that's going to play 2 games under 500. They're going to figure things out as well. And there's just this real lack of belief that the Knicks can keep this going. And I get that as a longtime Knicks fan because they've been more of a laughingstock. So I'll put it as 8, and I agree with you. I'd be absolutely stunned if they are not in the play-in tournament because they played too well, and Julius Randle is a deserved all-star.
Sure, and for people who are wondering, like, is there actually a situation – because there are, first of all, I mean, there's, you know, 15 teams in the conference and 10 potentially make at least the play-in tournament. Is there any way the Knicks still don't make the playoffs with the logjam that we have basically from Raptors down in the Eastern Conference, Pacers rather, down in the Eastern Conference at number 4? And I mean, there really is. Like, I'm going to read you 10 teams that do not include the Knicks. This is a very plausible situation. So obviously, Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, no sweat. Indiana, Toronto, I think no sweat. That's 5. Boston, Miami, now you're at 7. If either of them, you know, like, falter, then I guess you have something. Charlotte, I think, is very real, and I think is definitely making the playoffs this year. That's that. Then you have a couple teams that gets really interesting, right? So Chicago's in the 7 in the standings right now. I don't know if any of us think Chicago, where they're going to be at the end of the year. Maybe they make it, maybe they don't. You still have Atlanta, who has never had a full team the entire year. Bogdanovich hasn't played whatsoever. DeAndre Hunter's played very few games. John Collins has been in and out of the lineup. Reddish doesn't play very often. Rondo never plays. Chris Dunn hasn't played. It's like everybody they acquired in the offseason, except for Capella, who they got last year. And then you have Washington sitting there too. So I just, you know, I want to believe in the Knicks, mostly because Nick does the show every day and he really wants to believe in them. And it's the show is going to be better when he's happier about, you know, where the team's going and the fact that they're not in like 13th anymore in the conference. But I mean, I just gave you 10 teams, like, easily. Sixers, Nets, Bucks, Pacers, Raptors. That's easy. Celtics, Heat, Hornets, Hawks, Wizards. Then it's you and Chicago both sitting at 11. I mean, that's like it's so bizarre with how bad the East is that everyone's average enough that it feels like I could order these in any order and it would make sense.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
No, you're right. But I think they're better than Washington, who's sitting there, what, 6 games under the 500 mark? I think last I checked, what are they, 12
and a half back? 2.5 back.
Yeah, I understand that. I get they're only 2.5 back. But, I mean, to watch this team is to appreciate this team when you look at the Knicks. I just don't think, Ken, they're not an overly gifted team. But if the outside shooting, Burks is now healthy. He scored 24 off the bench last night. If they're able to continue to hit the outside shots, they're going to defend. And once they get Mitchell Robinson back, they'll be a better defensive team. I'm not telling you they're a top 8 team in the Eastern Conference. I think that's a little strong, but I do think they're a top 10 team in the Eastern Conference with what we've seen here through the first 32 to 34 games.
Sure. Makes a ton of sense. And this is going to be, I saw a story, and correct me if I'm wrong here, maybe you guys even did this on the show today, where the Knicks, I believe the Knicks and Nets both played last night. Nets at Orlando, Knicks at Sacramento. The TV ratings for the Knicks were like multiple times greater than the Brooklyn rating last night, despite the fact, obviously, the Nets have all the star power and they're a much better team. It just kind of proves the point that if both teams are even close to good, and I think Knicks close to good is a good description, TV ratings, the Knicks just blow them out of the water. You get 10 all-stars on the Brooklyn Nets, it doesn't matter.
Well, it bothers people that are Brooklyn Net fans or New Jersey Net fans who are now Brooklyn Net fans and say, well, okay, now we're going to take over Manhattan. You're going to take over New York City. The answer to that is no, you're not. I mean, and it troubles them when you say that. Well, we've got Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. I go, it does not matter. I don't care who you have. I mean, you could add, Giannis in the off. It doesn't matter.
You got Steve Nash as a coach, and you got the guy who owns Alibaba owns the team.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because the Knicks are the city's team. They just are. There's too many Knicks fans. They're the heartbeat. The team is trying to beat the care out of you in New York City because how poorly run they have been. Right. I harken back to my glory days. The Knicks were losing in the NBA Finals to the Houston Rockets, and Akeem and the block shot by Akeem, and then the bad shooting performance the next game by John Starks. So, I mean, all of those things, you look at it, the Knicks are still by far the most popular team in Manhattan, in New York City. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's just so funny. Here's a major metropolitan area that has two basketball teams. One of them is 16 and 17. The other one's 22 and 12 and has three of the best 9 players in the league. What were the TV ratings last night? Oh, the team that's 16 and 17 won by an 8x margin.
I know.
That's just such a funny dynamic. And I agree with everything you're saying. I'm not even saying that's wrong and that people should somehow change. It's like, you can't change allegiances. You are what you are, and especially if you're a Knicks fan. It's not like, if you haven't given it up yet, then, God bless you.
Well, a lot of people haven't. Listen, I know we gotta get. I know we gotta switch up, but here's the other thing that hurts the Nets in terms of, they're not a homegrown product. Like, if they had drafted James Harden and Harden had been there for the last 8 or 9 years, and then you had Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving via free agency, that's one thing. They're all mercenaries. They're great players. I mean, no one's knocking any of them, but I mean, Kyrie's great, Kevin Durant's great, James Harden has adjusted his game, fantastic, but there's really no emotional commitment to this team because they're all coming together in one group, and there's not one of those players is kind of like a lifelong Net that now you're seeing reap the benefits of it.
And I'll go one step further. It's not even like a neutral emotional state. I would argue it's like they would choose to root for other teams over the Nets. Durant had the opportunity to go to New York, and basically they decided to go to Brooklyn instead, he and Kyrie, because of ownership and everything. And cool, you can be mad at Dolan too, and you have plenty of reasons. You have millions of reasons across decades to be mad at James Dolan. But I think honestly for the Knicks fan, it's kind of like, F these guys. Like, they chose Brooklyn instead, even if they're playing really well. Like, who's switching allegiances to guys who basically said, we don't want to play for your team? I mean, it's like, what kind of, it's like, this is not a heartwarming story. I mean, this is, an assembled roster of the elite of the elite, but it has nothing to do with, New York or New Yorkers or their kind of obsession with basketball. So I'm with you on that one.
Well, and people might, and just one more thing on that, might think it's crazy. I've made the point on my midday show with Maggie on WFAN. The Nets are a bigger national story than they are a New York story. Think about that. They are, because like they are bigger when you look at ESPN, Fox, all these, every TNT covering the Brooklyn Nets than they are as far as being a pure New York story.
Sure. It is 100% correct and still a very weird thing to say out loud. It is kind of both of those things. Tyler, let's try to fit one more in here. What's the next one?
Over under on the most bets you've placed in a day. Bonus points if you can name the event.
So this is most bets in a day, but like you say, name the event. Like, it could be there's like a May Saturday where it'll be Kentucky Derby, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semis, like hockey playoffs and baseball. So, like, what do you mean name the event?
So, ignore the event, then. Most bets you've ever placed in a day.
Most bets I've ever placed in a day on just sports, or can I use horses?
On just sports.
So, horses not allowed? Let's include horses for moose. Let's do horses.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I have buckets of slips, to be perfectly honest. But even for horses. I mean, it's like, I might bet, I might have 10 slips on a horse race. All right, number of bets in a day. Let me try to get a good answer here.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, why don't you go first on this one?
Yeah, most bets in a day, I'd probably say it's been around 80.
That's, I mean, that's not amateur hour, let's be honest.
No, 80 bets.
What do you, what's the first thing you think of?
I mean, so, first thing I'm thinking about, I mean, aside from the sports, it would be just a day at the track because I like to, you know, you're playing multiple things, whether it be pick fours, pick threes, win place, an exacta, trifecta. So you could, in any given race, if I go to Saratoga or Belmont, you know, you could, in any given race, you would have 7 or 8 betting slips. And if there are 9 or 10 races in that given card, you're looking at, you know, 72 bets to 80 bets on that particular card, that particular day. So, I mean, I'd probably say any day at the track, Ken, not saying that it's every bet is an extreme amount of money because it's not, but you're looking at probably a conservative day at the track. I'm making, I mean, I'm probably making 80 to 90 bets at the track.
I mean, even the most conservative person, look, I mean, they're still putting in the dime super on occasion. You got to put in the dime super. That's just a
no doubt.
Why not? My number is 175. That's the number that I wrote down. And this is just a volume thing. And it's college basketball Saturday. There are 150 games. We're going to do overnights later in the show for Saturday, especially in January, which is when my projections tend to perform the best versus the market. Everything's still in flux a little bit. Conference play is starting. When you have a Saturday with 150 games, I'm betting pre-flop, I'm betting first half, I'm betting second half, I'm betting totals, I'm betting in play sometimes. I mean, all those things come. I mean, if I have the day to myself, if the wife takes the kids to her in-laws or she's out with her friends or whatever, I mean, that's, it's an easy 150. I mean, like an easy 150, it just rolls off.
That's great.
It is better than great. Let me tell you. It's not great when I had totals come in last year one time. I had a Saturday where I went 12 and 40 in totals. That didn't go great. But everything else, every other Saturday, and to be honest, I didn't even lose that much that day because I had second halves and everything. And it all, you know what you figure out? It all kind of ends up evening itself out, especially when you're playing. If you actually have an edge and you're playing that volume, then there will be downswings, but they won't last more than, you know, a week or two with that volume.
Well, there you go. That was tremendous. I enjoyed it. I want to get more into sports market sweep. That was great. We're going to do a little NHL. Chris Abbott from Quebec, Canada will join Ken and I. We will do that next. You're listening to You Better You Bet right here, a Friday edition on the BetQL Audio Network.